بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, it is only the infinite kindness, the sheer grace and mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzah that Allah has favored us and blessed us with a pure and pristine way of life, the deen of Islam. And one of the salient features, one of the standout attributes of the deen of Islam is that Allah Rabbul Izzah has not only given us a clear picture, transparency, clarity with regard to our lives in this world, but Allah has given us transparency and clarity with regard to the subsequent stages as well. Death, the various stages of death, the realm of barzakh, the realm of the souls, culminating in the resurrection, standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and finally an eternal life in the gardens of Jannah or the dens of Jahannam. When it comes to life in this world, the description, the detail, the clarity has been provided in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taraktukum ala mithli al-bayda. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I have left you upon a crystal clear path, layliha ka nahariha, to emphasize the clarity, to emphasize the transparency. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The night is as clear as the day. Generally, during the brightness of daylight, visibility is good. A person is able to see to a distance. He is able to navigate his way to his destination with relative ease. But the moment the sun sets, darkness takes over. Visibility becomes poor. Now a person struggles to navigate and find his way to his destination. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarifies, when it comes to what is required from you and I in this world, there is no night. Layliha ka nahariha. The night is as clear, as bright as the day. But not only is this transparency and clarity given with regard to life in this world, the subsequent stages thereafter as well have been described in painstaking detail. When it comes to death and the journey that the soul will then undergo, here also we find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a righteous person, a pious person will be met by the angel of death. He will appear in a very pleasant form. And prior to extracting the soul from the body, he will place a cloth under the nose of the person, scented in the fragrance of Jannah. This fragrance will act as an anesthetic of sorts. And the soul will be extracted with very mild discomfort, if any. And then the soul is taken up into the heavens. The gatekeepers of the first heaven will ask the question, who have you brought? The angels transporting the soul will respond that we have brought so and so. They will begin to praise the person. And they will enumerate his good attributes and qualities that he had in this world. When this is done, the gatekeepers will now welcome him. Ahlan wa sahlan. Marhaban bikum. We have awaited your arrival. The doors will be opened. He will ascend into the second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven. Finally, the soul will be taken to Illiyin, which is the repository of the pious and righteous souls. And then the tone changes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the death that awaits the impious, the unrighteous, that person who is not obedient to Allah. Now the angel of death appears in a very terrifying and frightening form. According to one narration, flames coming out of his mouth and eyes. The soul is extracted very brutally. He undergoes a great amount of pain and torture at that time. And then the soul is taken up into the heavens. Permission is sought, may we enter. The question is asked, who have you brought? The angels who are transporting him begin to enumerate his evil traits and habits. Entry is not granted, and they are forced to return back to this world with the soul. And according to the riwayat, they then take that soul and sink it into the ground. Finally, it is settled in a place called Sijjin, the repository of the evil souls. But this journey also, meticulous detail in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the phase of resurrection, when humanity in its entirety will be made to stand before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, culminating in the final journey, traversing the pul sirat, the bridge over Jahannam to gain entry into Jannah. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu says, بلغني, I have heard, أن الجسر أدق من الشعر أحد من السيف, that this pul sirat, this bridge over Jahannam, is as thin as a strand of hair, sharper than the blade of a sword. According to Fudayl bin Iyad rahimahullah, a journey of 15,000 years. When we look through all of these phases, my dear brothers, be it life in this world, death and the subsequent, the life in the grave, culminating in resurrection on the day of Qiyamah, then we find there is one common theme that stands out. One common factor that is found in all of these stages. The struggle, the tussle, the tug of war between darkness and light. Dhulmah and Noor. In this world we find it is a physical struggle or spiritual struggle. The darkness of kufr, of disbelief, the disobedience of Allah. Vying with the Noor, the light of Iman. But when we look through the riwayat, we come to realize that this struggle, this tug of war will become a physical one on the day of Qiyamah. The verse of Surah Al-Hadid that I recited in the beginning, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala highlights or paints the picture of the scene on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. Those who left this world with Iman. They believed in Allah and they preserved their Iman. Allah highlights and describes the scene on the day of Qiyamah. But as they are about to cross over this bridge, they will find an immense amount of noor and light that will light the way ahead for them. Visibility will be good, and they will find that they will reach the gates of Jannah with relative ease. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now turns the scene. يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ. Allah speaks about the hypocrite. That person who is clothed in the garb of Islam, but the heart was devoid of Iman. And for just a moment, my dear brothers, let us stop, reflect and introspect. I ask myself, you ask yourself, which group do I fall into? What is the level of my trust upon Allah? What is the level of my reliance upon Allah? What is the level of my faith and belief in Allah? I may look like a Muslim, I may have a Muslim name, I may even be in the first saf of the masjid for salah, but has that Iman really penetrated the heart? What will be the condition of the munafiq? He will turn to the believer and he will beg from him, انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم, just glance in my direction. Just turn your face towards me so that I may benefit from your noor and light. Ulama give the example, husband and wife with a young child seated at the table. And all of a sudden there is a power cut. Pitch darkness. And the husband, the father, has his cell phone in his hand. The young mother, the young wife, carrying the child on her lap. And she will say to her husband, just turn the screen in my direction. At least I will be able to feed our child. Just a little bit of light. We will go rushing, hurrying for the emergency light. Why didn't you charge it? This will be the condition of the munafiq on the day of Qiyamah. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned the incident or the narration of Sulaym bin Amir. He says, we were in Damascus attending a janaza. وَمَعَنَا أَبُو أُمَامَةَ الْبَاهِلِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. With us was the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Umama al-Bahili. When we had laid the body into the grave, and the sand had then been placed upon the body, Abu Umama turns and addresses us, أيها الناس. He says, O people, إنكم قد أصبحتم وأمسيتم في منزل تقتسمون فيه الحسنات والسيئات. He says, you find yourself in a world wherein you have equal access to good and evil. The opportunity is there to please Allah. The opportunity is there to earn the pleasure of Allah. And with that, the opportunity is there to disobey Allah. وَسَتَضْعَنُونَ مِنْهُ إِلَىٰ مَنْزِلٍ آخَرٍ. But soon you will find yourself moving over to another place. And then he begins to describe the grave. إِنَّهُ بَيْتُ الدُّودِ وَبَيْتُ الظُّلْمَ وَبَيْتُ الْوَحْدَ وَبَيْتُ الْوَحْشَ. You will find yourself in a home of loneliness, an abode of darkness, an abode of worms and insects. And then you will travel from there to another place. جَنَّاسَ ظُلْمَةٌ شَدِيدًا. When you will stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, suddenly he will be plunged into darkness. ثُمَّ يُقَسَّمُ النُّورُ. Then Abu Umama says, Noor will be distributed. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu describes this. He says, some believers will be given amthalil jibal, noor and light to the extent of a mountain. A person who had innumerable good deeds in his life. Some will be given to the extent of a date palm tree. And that believer who had just a little bit of iman, barely any good deeds, he will be given just a fingertip of noor, which will flicker on and off. And this will be the guiding light. This will be the means of navigation. Understand this, my dear brothers. In our country, we are perhaps best placed to understand this struggle. This tug of war between darkness and light. In a country that is plagued with power cuts, not too long ago with load shedding, we understand the level of fear, the level of discomfort when the lights are taken away, when visibility is poor. But to this extent we understand, in this world I can still make a plan. I can charge my phone in the car. I can switch on the emergency light. I have a generator. I have a solar powered system. On the day of Qiyamah there will be no making of plans. How do we prepare for this day, my dear brothers? Allah reward Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of rewards for teaching us that together with these challenges, together with these difficulties, Allah has kept the solution within His deen. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah has mentioned from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are approximately 12 actions that a person may invest in which will secure and guarantee noor for him on the day of Qiyamah. The true investment, the profitable investment. In this world, if I am told of some investment opportunity, returns unheard of, profits that are unmatched and unbeaten, then I will make sure to invest my funds in that investment. Not just myself, I will take the wealth of my wife, my children, my grandparents. These returns are unmatched on the market right now. This is the investment, my dear brothers. The first action. The hadith of Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discussing salah amongst the sahaba radiallahu anhum. And then after emphasizing the importance of salah, what does he say? Man hafaza alayha, that person who will be protective over his salah. He will be conscious when it comes to his salah, not just externally, to read salah on time, in jamaat, in the masjid, but the internal aspects of salah. He will strive to correct his concentration. He will equip himself with the knowledge required to perform salah in a manner pleasing to Allah. كَانَتْ لَهُ نُورًا. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promise? This will become a guaranteed source of noor and light for him. وَبُرْهَانًا. It will stand as an advocate in the court of Allah. وَنَجَاتًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And ultimately it will guarantee his salvation on the day of Qiyamah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cautions, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا. That person who takes his salah lightly, he does not prioritize this in his life, لم يكن له نور ولا برهان ولا نجاة يوم القيامة. He will not be given a source of light. And then what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? وَحُشِرَ مَعَ قَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيِّ بْنِ خَلَفٍ. His resurrection will be with the worst tyrants of the ummah. Those who till the day of Qiyamah will be spoken about in the Quran will be known for their evil, for their disobedience, and for the traumatizing way in which they met their end. His resurrection will take place with people of this ilk. Ask ourselves once again, my dear brothers. The masjid is relatively full at the time of Jumu'ah. What will be the condition at the Asr Salah of today? What will be the condition at the time of Fajr tomorrow morning? When humanity will be plunged into darkness, Salah will come to his rescue. The emergency light will be turned on, the batteries will be fully charged, and now he will be able to navigate his way to the gates of Jannah. The second action Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about, prioritize the recitation of Quran. When istama'a ila ayatin min kitabillah, that person who will listen to one verse of the Quran, kutibat lahu hasanatun muda'afa, he will be given multiplied rewards. And then that person who will go one step further, waman talaha, he will take time out, he will break away from his schedule, and he will recite the Quran. Kanat lahu nuran yawm al-qiyamah. Another emergency light will come to his rescue on the day of Qiyamah. Somebody complained to Shaykh al-Hadith Murana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullah. He says, I just don't find time to read Quran. What was the response? He says, rather you have not made it a priority in your life. It has fallen down the pecking order. If you make it a priority, you will find time. The husband is aging. He has chest, breathing is becoming labored, and the wife insists, please make an appointment with the specialist. He says, I don't have time. I have to open the shop. I have to have so many meetings for the week ahead. She says, please go for your checkup. He says, I don't have the time. She will phone and make the appointment. Appointment is made. Make the time and go for it. Because your health is a priority right now. He says, you have not made the recitation of Quran a priority in your life. If you will make it a priority, you will find the time for it. Understand what are the returns, my dear brothers. Another emergency light will be turned on. And then Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah quotes the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, where he speaks about the importance of Durood Sharif. And particularly when a person is now embarking on the journey across the Pul Sirat. That person who will send salat and salam upon me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says his journey on the Pul Sirat will be, there will be a light that will illuminate the bridge for him. And he will find his journey very easy. He will find his way to his destination. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, my dear brothers. Ask ourselves, how many durood have I sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The day of Jumu'ah commenced yesterday at the time of Maghrib. What is the level of repayment to my greatest benefactor? Allahu Akbar. Ulama explain that Durood Sharif in reality is a gift. And in this world we all know, if a person gives me a gift, then I find it necessary to reciprocate. But not just to reciprocate, but I will reciprocate according to my status. He gave me an ordinary bar of Cadbury chocolate, but I have to give him something that is greater than this. I will find something exotic on the market. I need to show my status. I need to show my wealth. But he gave me a gift, I have to give him something in return. Ulama say Durood Sharif in reality is a gift that we are sending to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah will take it upon himself to reciprocate on his behalf. We can imagine the gifts Allah will not shower upon the heart of this person. That amidst all the challenges of life, all the difficulties, all the hardships, all the worries and concerns, the stressful life that he is undergoing, when he is making dua, I wish it was an 8-day week, 25-hour day. I just don't have time in my life. We can imagine the gifts of tranquility, of peace of mind, contentment of the heart, ease of life Allah will shower upon the heart of such a person. He sent a gift for my Nabi. He took time out to recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, another emergency light will come to his rescue on the day of Qiyamah. Time has already run out. These are just a few actions, my dear brothers. But this struggle, this tussle, this tug of war is a reality. The struggle between darkness and light, between zulmah and noor, death is a reality. The day of Qiyamah is a reality. Resurrection is a reality. And the journey across the pool Sirat is a reality. How much have I prepared for it? I ask myself, Allah give me tawfiq first. And all of us, when we make our life about accumulation rather than preparation, then we will find those lights will not be charged. When the darkness will hit on the day of Qiyamah, when the load shedding will kick in, when the power outage will take place, when a person will barely be able to see his own hand in front of his face, then where will the nur come from? Where will the light come from on that day? It will come from our iman and our amal, my dear brothers. Understand this much will terminate on this. When a person will leave this world, and his janaza will be taken to the qabristan, then generally there are three things that will come with him. His family members will come with him. His wealth may also come with him. His car will be driven to the graveyard. And his iman and a'mal will accompany him. But in reality, everything will return besides his iman and his a'mal. The very day after he leaves this world, somebody else will sleep in his bed. Somebody else will be driving his car. A few months after this, somebody else will wed his wife. His children will take guidance from some other person in their life. He will have nothing to show besides his iman and his amal. This will come to his rescue. This will come to his rescue not just in the akhirat, in the grave also, when the questions are posed before him. Before that, when he is leaving this world, it will be iman and amal. Iman and amal. Ask ourselves, my dear brothers, while we are living, while our hearts are pumping, while we are breathing in and out, we still have an opportunity. We still have a chance. It may have been 50, 60, 70 years of negligence, of heedlessness, of disobedience to Allah. I still have a chance. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, At-ta'ibu Habibullah. All I have to do is put my hand in the hand of Allah. Oh Allah, I am sorry. I am sorry for my mistakes. I am sorry for my heedlessness. I am sorry for my negligence. Allah says, you become my beloved overnight. Now see the ease of your life in this world, the contentment, the tranquility, the happiness Allah will bestow upon your heart in this world, when you leave this world, and ultimately on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.